Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 112 of the Picus Riley podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emelson, and joining me, we have my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
Back from his hiatus.
Yeah, I had to take a break. Just took a couple weeks off. Just needed a vacation, reset, recharge. So it was just been sort of lying around sleeping a lot.
I'm sure. That sounds like the opposite of what you probably been doing.
No, it's been crazier. So I guess I did. I had another kid, which was fun. So we're on number three now, which is a little
exciting.
Crazy.
Exciting.
Yeah. And the fun thing is so we brought. It was born about 2 weeks ago, and we get home like on a Saturday, mm-hmm. and my oldest daughter doesn't feel well. We take her to the doctor. She has strep throat. A couple days later, my middle child now doesn't feel too well. Take her to the doctor. She has double ear infection.
Oh, God.
I get sick. And now my wife, I think, is sick. So for the past 2 weeks, not only have we had a new baby, who luckily has not gotten sick, which has been awesome, but no, the entire house has been under the weather somewhat. So it's been a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of sick kids. So it's been fun.
It sounds miserable.
Yeah. No, I'd much rather be raiding, even if it would have been wiping to Anduin at this point. So
speaking of Anduin, actually, so before we get into progress stuff, today we're going to be talking about the new Mythic Plus affix, which is up on the PTR right now for testing. It's called Shrouded. And we'll talk about the details in a bit, as well as I guess we can kind of talk about the raid nerfs while we talk about our progression and our stuff. And then there was one other thing that I think we were going to talk about, and I'm blanking on it right now.
I will get to it. We'll figure it out. There's a bunch of like catch up stuff. So
yeah. But how is so you've been out for obvious reasons of the raid. How is your guild been doing?
So they killed Anduin this week. Which I think a bunch of people have with all the nerfs. I was trying to check progress before we kicked off. I didn't get a chance to check. I don't think we were that close. We'd seen maybe phase three, like handful of times the week before the nerfs, but probably still had a solid like week, another probably like three raid nights worth of prog if they did make the changes on it to actually get there.
Really?
I think so. I mean, just based on like the consistency aspect of it.
The consistency. Because like, I think so. My guild also killed it. We killed it Friday, which is our first raid night of the week. I think we could have killed it last Sunday, except that we lost like half of our raid night just to blasphemy. That's an exaggeration. Yeah. We lost like a quarter of our raid night to blasphemy, which is like a phase one mechanic, right? We've been doing that for the whole 200 whatever pulls we had on it by the time we killed it. So losing a quarter of our raid night to a phase one mechanic that we all should already have under control is
it's rough.
Yeah.
yeah. So I mean they finally got it down late in our raid night, so we actually got it down our second raid night this week. And I think they only had maybe like five or six pulls. I think they were pulling Lords of Dread. We ended up actually extending this week, so I don't know if you guys also extended, but
we extended after we killed Halundris. So that actually makes a lot of sense that you were getting less time on the Anduin prog, I guess, because you were reclearing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they killed it at 216 pulls, I want to say, or 220. Yeah, so I mean, maybe not. I think we only extended this week. Although to be fair, I could be wrong. We might have extended last week too. I think we're just gonna. I haven't talked. To be fair, like I literally haven't talked to anybody in my guild about what's next. So
yeah,
I'm assuming we're just gonna extend until death at this point, until Jay is dead.
I would. That seems like the only correct thing to do, given how much time clearing the first eight bosses would take. Like, it's just about like how much time are you going to waste just going from boss to boss to boss?
Yeah, exactly.
So speaking of the nerfs, so we did get raid nerfs this week, including nerfs to Anduin. Which there was a little bit of a data mining fiasco with that one, where the initial data mined version of the changes was not the actual changes that were ultimately included. So the final round of changes. Let's see. Here's the actual notes. Notes for the changes. Blasphemy increased to 12 seconds on all difficulties. On Mythic, this was 8 seconds. I think it might have been 10 seconds on Heroic. I don't know. Or maybe it's just easier on Heroic because you don't have to avoid people without the buff.
Yep.
Lost Soul, which is the downstairs when you go into the Kingsmorn debuff, duration increased to 40 seconds. So this is your time limit, like how long you have to complete the phase. This is actually like one of the biggest things for consistency, because Anduin has that really annoying, like you have to light up two separate groups damage very precisely, and if you don't do it right, people die, you just wipe.
Right.
So like Kel'Thuzad had that with his intermissions. Anduin has that with the Kingsmorns. Anduin's is not as bad because you can like kill the downstairs phase and then hang out and wait for them to pull you up. It doesn't have to be like precise in the way it did on Kel'Thuzad. So it was better, but it was still very annoying. And this just makes it slightly easier to manage it without killing people.
Right.
Wicked Star now only targets one player at a time on Mythic. This one, I honestly don't think that was... This is one of the... I don't feel like this was actually that big. In Phase 2, it's big. In Phase 1, it's like whatever. In Phase 2, it's maybe a little bit bigger. Maybe I'm underestimating the difficulty in Phase 2, but it didn't seem that bad.
Gotcha.
And then players are now invalid targets for Blasphemy for 20 seconds after the effect of Lost Soul expires. It was previously 4 seconds or 6 seconds. The hotfix note says 10 seconds, but they're burying the lead here where they actually, the previous hotfix was wrong. Like it didn't work. They buffed it from 6 seconds to 10 seconds. But what they actually did is buff the, like if you came in between that 10 seconds and 6 seconds window, you wouldn't get the graphic for Blasphemy, but you would still get targeted by Blasphemy. There's like the pre-Blasphemy graphic that warns you to like spread that you wouldn't
gotcha.
Get. But you would still then get Blasphemy at the end of it, and so you would probably immediately die because you didn't think you were going to get it.
Right.
So this they actually fixed it correctly this time. And then finally, the biggest hotfix for Anduin, I think, reduced the health of Grim Reflections by 15% in Mythic.
Yeah.
This was one for us. It just makes it significantly easier to kill them before your CC wears off. Like right, just that 15%. We went from having the final Grim Reflection be like 80% health when the first Kingsmorn group would go down to it being dead. And that just makes it dramatically easier.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to deal with that while you're going down. Interesting.
So, not nearly as big a nerf as Helandrous got. This is not like gutting the boss in the way that Helandrous got totally destroyed. No. Still pretty substantial though.
It seems, I mean, it definitely seemed like a bunch of guilds got their Anduin kills this week, based on this. So
I should see how do we have a spike in Anduin kills this week compared to previous, and there's kind of one. So looking at prog stats, there's kind of one. It's kind of there. Kind of. There's a little bit of like, there's just a bunch of guilds that reached Anduin at the same time because they killed Helandrous at the same time. Because if we look at Helandrous has this vertical line the week of the hotfix, right? So I don't know how much of it is, I think my guild would have killed Anduin this week, nerfs or no nerfs.
Gotcha.
What the nerfs probably did for us is take it from killing Sunday, just due to consistency issues, right?
Right.
Take it from us killing it Sunday to us killing it Friday.
Yeah.
So we're on Lords of Dread now. We have a whopping 3 pulls on it.
Nice. Yeah. I think, like I said, they have like 4 or 5. So we'll see how We'll see how that goes. I am taking one more week off from raiding, so I will not
understandably.
Yeah, I will not be raiding this week, but hopefully back next week for the reset.
Which will probably be Regalon for the most part.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get Lords of Dread down within the next day or two, and then or within this week, and then yeah, it's Regalon. I get to do Regalon and Jailer with the guild. Although to be fair, I might feel bad taking somebody's Jailer spot, particularly if we know they recruited a healer to fill in for me. So
yeah,
we shall see though.
The Lords of Dread is typically like a 10 to 20 pole raid boss. It's very much like Guardian of the first ones last year. So we're going to see how long that takes. I feel like we could just kill Lords of Dread tonight easily.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
And then start on Regalon. Like we've done our Regalon prep. We've got all of our stuff on our Discord channels and everything ready to go for it.
Yeah.
The real question is just like on Lords of Dread, like there's really one mechanic that matters. Like there's the healing check that is pretty big, but there's one mechanic that matters, right? And it's the carrion clouds. If you do the carrion clouds correctly and you don't get hit by those, you don't get extra stacks, then the boss will die. But if we struggle with that, then you know, we may not kill it tonight.
Yeah.
This is another boss as well that's like 12 minutes long. So if we're actually getting good pulls on it, because like Carrion Cloud doesn't just immediately kill you, you can kind of struggle on and suffer through it. So we are going to probably have a number of pulls that are long. So the actual pull count might be small while it's still taking a solid few hours.
Yeah, to get through. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. No, definitely. It should be hopefully good for you guys. Yeah, that means you are ahead of midweek team then, right? At that point, if you get Lords down?
Yes, we will be. Yeah. Which would be the first time basically ever.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I think there might be one time that we killed like a different wing boss earlier than they did in like Nihilotha, where you could go different directions, right? And like we killed like an extra boss, but it was, you know, just one of the not an end wing boss, right? Like just a boss. This would be the first time of actually being like a boss ahead, where the boss, in this case, the boss is not really like a real boss, you know, it's a 20 pull boss, but it's still a boss ahead, which is nice.
That's awesome.
So for those that are listening, they're maybe not familiar. My guild has two teams. There's the midweek team that raids Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the weekend team, which raids Friday, Sunday. And I'm on the weekend team. So
nice. And so, yeah, so awesome. Well, and we also got, I guess there was some other nerfs, some Regalon nerfs and some Jailer nerfs. So I guess we can touch on those real quick. Just we're talking about raid nerfs up front. But yeah, Regalon got a health reduction and then got a number of just damage reduction to a bunch of different abilities. Dark Collapse got a damage reduction. Unstable Quasar, both got a radius reduction and a damage reduction. And then the Cosmic Ejection, which is the dot, got a damage reduction.
These damage reductions, by the way, so these are like 25%, 25%, 20%, 33%. Collapse and Quasar fields also last 2 seconds longer, which is nice. It's going to make it slightly more, like it gives you a little bit more flexibility when you kill the Quasars and still have them. Like still have people be able to get in with their Dark Eclipse.
Exactly.
And then the health nerf is just going to make it easier to snag a kill. Maybe if things go slightly wrong, like if you have to, you know, if you have somebody die now towards the end, you can kind of struggle on and still beat the end of the final massive bang. But yeah, this Regalon nerfs, I think, are actually more significant than the Anduin ones. So Regalon is just like the sludge fist of this tier. Like it's high damage check the whole way through. And the level of outgoing damage was just like super, super insane. High.
Yeah.
And this cuts the level of outgoing damage, at least on the DPS, by enough that you're not going to like do a bunch of pulls of just losing people to, you know, cosmic ejection or things like that.
Yeah, exactly. So those are definitely significant to Regalon. And then the Jailer received a handful of nerfs. I, to be fair, don't really know what any of these abilities are.
All right. So there's really I would say two pretty relevant nerfs on this. The first one, Torment initial explosion damage decreased by 10% on all difficulties. This is the circles that appear around you and explode. So it's just that, it's just something that hits the whole raid at once. And there's a bunch of times, even on Heroic, that this overlaps with some other mechanic. Like when you get the chains and then you have to run away, and immediately after there's Torment. And so you have to rapidly heal the group up so they don't die to Torment. That kind of overlap. Right. And the other one, Shattering Blast damage over time decreased by 33% in Mythic difficulty. So Shattering Blast is the damage over time effect that goes on the tank after they take the blue circle to one of the pylons in phase two, and it slaps.
Oh, really?
Like,
I didn't realize how hard it hit.
So pre-nerf, each tick did about 50% of a Brewmaster's health.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
That's pre-stagger and everything, but... You know, so you have in, you know, versatility and stagger and everything like that. So you're not literally dying in 2 seconds, but it just trucks the tanks. And this is happening at the time where, like, if you're a tank and you're going out to get one of the far pylons, you're going to be out of range of healing. So ends up being pretty spooky on that front. So this is a good nerf. For tanks, like, this is going to make it easier to tank the boss in a way that doesn't also screw over Brewmaster damage.
Fair enough.
Speaking of, I gotta talk to my raid lead and our healers about whether I'm allowed to do things like demanding Guardian Spirit on pull so I can do sit shenanigans.
Oh man. Yeah, I'm not going to lie, that stuff always bothers me when people are like, you should rally. Warlocks are like screaming for rally on pull, so like they do more damage. Awful. All right, well, I think that's all the nerfs then, at least for the raid this week. So maybe we transition to just talking about it. I think we talked about at the start, it's a very light, at least, news week. There are some interesting tidbits coming out. Some of them WoW related, some of them not so WoW related. So I guess we'll go through a couple of them here. So first up is not WoW related, at least directly. So if you remember last year, over the last probably 2 years or so, 3 years or so, a bunch of senior folks from Blizzard have left and sort of started their own studios or started working together on things. And one of the first individuals to leave was Ben Brode, who you remember was sort of Hearthstone lead, right? He was like the face of Hearthstone. I think he was game director, lead designer and game director at a certain point. And so he left to start a company called Second Dinner. And Second Dinner just announced their first game, which is a free-to-play card battler mobile game set in the Marvel universe. So it's called Marvel Snap. It is set to be the fastest collectible card game in the multiverse, which is their words, not mine. But they're trying to basically build a very quick card battler game. I think they're saying they're trying to focus on even 3-minute matches, which is definitely a little different. Yeah, which is crazy for a card game to be 3 minutes. Because like Hearthstone games now are like 20, 30-minute affairs. Even playing Battlegrounds.
Battlegrounds is different, but I feel like Hearthstone games feel longer than they actually are. Like a Hearthstone game is actually probably more like 10 to 15 minutes in a lot of cases. There are definitely like you end up in the old handlock versus handlock match or whatever that would be like a 30 minute affair for sure. But there's definitely a bunch of matchups that are going to be more like the 10 to 15 minute number. But 3 minutes is like crazy fast.
Yeah, super quick. But no, it'd be interesting to see what they come out with. It'll be cool to see. So this is, I think, the first game announced by those studios of ex-Blizzard employees. And so it'll be interesting to see what else they come out with. This seems very much in Ben's wheelhouse in terms of just a card battler. So, we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. But mobile games are on the menu, I feel like, everywhere. I don't know. Did you guys talk about the Warcraft mobile game last week at all? Or did we talk about it 2 weeks ago?
I think we talked about it 2 weeks ago.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I don't know. the TLDR of it, for anybody that maybe missed it, is it's basically looks like Clash of Clans, but WoW, or not WoW, but Warcraft.
Exactly, yeah. Seems interesting. The next sort of piece of news coming out is there's a new job posting out there for the narrative director of World of Warcraft. So basically they posted a sort of a job posting, an official job posting from Blizzard perspective, or a narrative director to guide the overall World of Warcraft story. This seems to be an interesting piece to note. You basically would be the individual, I guess, you know, responsible for the direction of WoW story moving forward, which has come under some fire over the past couple of, I say, expansions, particularly Shadowlands.
I think that BFA was mostly okay as far as like overall story. Yeah. There were definitely some stupid things, like Sylvanas burning the tree down, still a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Never made any sense. Still doesn't make any sense. They can try and justify it all they want. No. Shadowlands, though. Whew. I replayed most of the campaign while leveling my mage over the past couple of weeks. And just thought, nothing lands. The main interesting thing from doing the campaign again, there's two interesting bits. And it's actually in Bastion and it's in Revendreth. And in Bastion, it is like, huh, there's some real like dystopian shit going on here. And then they don't explore any of the interesting bits. And you just go off and like, yeah, the blue ones are the good ones. The purple ones are the bad ones. Hooray.
Exactly.
And the worst thing I think about the Shadowlands is that they can just retcon it. They've done it before. But they can't just pretend it doesn't exist, really, because they've now, like, everyone dies, right? There's this thing now that is, like, connected to everything else that's ever going to happen in WoW because they did the Shadowlands.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I think the other thing, too, is, like, just with WoW's story, I think a bunch of things have been said about it, but the fact that they basically try, it feels like they're trying to write the WoW story and, like, put hints of what the final outcome will be, but like three or four expansions back, right? And sometimes those points hit and sometimes they don't. And so like there's this weird trying to intertwine the story from like 10 years ago back into the story today that like I don't think they need that. Like I feel like they'd be much better served by essentially treating WoW like a sitcom where like you have a self-contained episode that has a story. And maybe there's major common threads like Joey and Chandler are not living together in the friend's apartment house anymore, right? That's a big break. And you could maybe do that as a story thing. But you don't need to like say like, you know, 6 years ago, Joey called Chandler this and that's why they're like no longer roommates. Like that doesn't matter. It's just like keep it a little bit smaller and self-contained, I think would help. But
I do think I do think you're kind of right. Having each expansion be more or less self-contained. Where you can just hop in, do the expansion, understand what's going on. And, you know, then if there's references to things in the past, you know, that's helpful. Like maybe some characters, you know, motivations are not totally 100% fleshed out unless you played, you know, the previous expansion or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. But when it's like, well, a lot of Shadowlands doesn't make sense, even if you do know the stuff that happened before, and that's so
exactly
important. But then there's a bunch of things that like, you know, why is Sylvanas working with the jailer? Well, the official story TM is that when she died after jumping off of Ice Crown Citadel, which happened in a short story during Wrath, not even in game, a short story on the website during Wrath, she went to, you know, Super Hell and saw how awful it was and decided she really didn't want to die after all. And so the jailer made the deal and gave her the Valkyr, and that's why she's working with the jailer now. Except she didn't actually make a deal. There's like there's a whole Yeah, it's bad. There's like, the jailer didn't actually make a deal with her, but gave her the Valkyr anyway so that she could go back.
Yeah. And then the jailer created had been working with the Nethrazine. And so like all the demon stuff from like War 3 was all the jailer's hand at some point. If like you actually were able to piece it. Yeah. I mean, current Shadowlands WoW story sucks because of what they tried to do. I think if they do this whole self-contained thing, and if they do like handoffs in between expansions, that's the best thing to do. Like,
The handoff between WoD and Legion was actually pretty good. Of like, at the end of WoD, Gul'dan from the alternate universe gets, you know, transported to the main line.
Yeah.
And then summons the demons. And great. That's like, you don't really need to understand why Gul'dan is back. Maybe you're a new player, you don't even know that he died in the first place, you know? But you can still start from, okay, Big Bad Gul'dan is here, he's summoned the demons, and they are attacking. And you can go from there throughout the whole expansion and, like, make sense of most things just from within the expansion.
Yeah. I mean, even to an extent, BFA is very similar, where, like, we wanted to kill Sargeras, he stabbed the world and leaked this Azerite fluid everywhere, and now Azerite fluid's everywhere, and oh, by the way, there's a new island that is the center of the Azerite fluid. And like, that is still an easier transition than Shadowlands, which I still don't know how we ended up, like, Sylvanas broke the helm and went crazy. Like,
It's like end of BFA, Sylvanas leaves the Horde, and then start of Shadowlands, she's in Ice Crown.
Because she needs the Helm of Domination, right. And then shatters it, which I guess would be fair. Like, that would be her leaving the Horde is a little weird, but her shattering it makes sense, and that unlocks the Shadowlands, which is fine. But then the actual story inside the Shadowlands, I think, is where you have an issue, because they try and, like, reconnect everything that happened previously.
Side note, very annoying thing on Anduin. I know you haven't spent a lot of time on Anduin. So on Mythic Anduin, the Blasphemy effect, you can't run into people that don't have the debuff. So it's not just other people with the debuff, it's also other people without the debuff. Except that they've got Thrall, Sylvanas, Jaina, and Bolvar running around the platform. They're not just like standing still either. They jump around and they cast spells. So like, there's definitely times where I'm like, oh, I can't run that way. There's a mage there, you know, and then I realize, oh, that's not our mage, that's Jaina.
It's just Jaina. Oh God, I hate NPCs.
It's so troll. That's like, I didn't mind them on Sylvanas, but they needed to not be there on Anduin because of that mechanic. That mechanic plus NPCs is just stupid.
That's hilarious. But yeah, so I mean, new narrative designer on WoW. If you are a storyteller and want to get in there, go definitely check it out. Hopefully you can write some good stories for us to read through, or to really, to be fair, ignore for the most part. Cool. Next up is a very contentious, I think, a little news story, but CurseForge released a standalone client manager, so you no longer have to install Overwolf to use CurseForge. They also did a fun thing where they turned off the version 1 of their API, which wasn't a real API, just something that the community was able to reverse engineer. They finally destroyed or sort of shut it down. And you can only use their now official version 2 API, which you have to apply to get a key to use. And to be fair, they don't seem to be giving those out all willy-nilly.
There's this add-on manager called Cursebreaker that I had used since sometime in BFA there had been like an announcement in it, you know, hey, this is getting shut off, whatever, they shut off the V1 API. There's now like an issue on their bug tracker where the author commented like expected update in June and it might get turned back on. So like it may be that they got a key and they're like, okay, I need some time to migrate things over to V2 API, which would be kind of neat.
That'd be cool. I also used Cursebreaker, which would be nice to get back to. I mean, to be fair, I used the CurseForge like Overwolf add-on manager now, which is like whatever. The only nice part about Cursebreaker and like a third party one is it included like Elv updates and like some of the add-ons that I use from like GitHub, like BDUI and stuff like that. So like that was the only nice part about that I enjoyed using those, is that it included updates from like more than just CurseForge. Mm-hmm. And so now I just sort of I just log into the game every week and it's like, your elf is out of date. And I'm like, I just don't care enough to update it. So,
yep. I'm probably going to install that because obviously Cursebreaker doesn't work right now. There's actually just a new Weak Auras version that came out, a major update. So I want to grab that.
Oh yeah, 4.0. Nested groups.
It's nested huge. Groups, yeah. I remember Rivers being asked about this in Legion and being like, no.
Yeah.
And then he got asked again a while later and he was like, maybe. And he got asked again a while later and he's like, so-and-so is actually working on that. And it turns out it's like I said, a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
Half a decade later.
Yeah, I think it was like one of the most requested features, I feel like, or has been for a while. And yeah. It seems super, super difficult. So
yeah. But it's in. So anyway, I'm probably going to grab the non-Overwolf client. So yeah.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, that is the CurseForge update. I guess get your, terrible UI updater. Our add-on updater from them. Next up is MDI Season 3 Last Stand Tournament is this weekend. So it's actually going on right now. We were talking about this a little bit. We were like sort of pinging back and forth too yesterday. We're going to talk about what to talk about today. I love this tournament format. So for those of you who don't know, so the typical MDI format is a head-to-head one dungeon or over the course of, I think, best of three dungeons or best of five dungeons, two teams battle it out. If you finish a dungeon first, you win, and then you go to the next map or the next dungeon, right? In the Last Stand tournament, though, the way that they set it up is you basically have six dungeons, I think it is, to run over the course of 3 days. And then they basically, you know, whatever your best time is across all six, the team with the lowest cumulative time wins. And so you basically get, I think, 6 hours per day for three straight days. To run the dungeons in any order you want and get as low of a time as you can, set of times as you can.
And these aren't just Shadowlands dungeons, right? Like, I think you were saying that they had Neltharion's Lair in the list.
Yeah, so five of the six are Shadowlands, but then, yeah, Nelth's Lair is the one extra one that they've added, which I think is cool. It's like a 21 Nelths with, like, I think it's Bursting and something else is the affixes. And so, yeah. And these are not like 16s or 17s. They're like, I think they're all between like 20 and 23, the key level. So they're higher, than normal, yeah. But no, it's a cool tournament to watch because what you can do is, and they're showing POVs from all the different teams and they have spectators in all the different teams, dungeons. So like you get to see a team basically like I watched one team for probably an hour yesterday, basically wipe on the first pull of Sanguine Depths for like 30 minutes because like the idea was they needed to get through like basically pulling almost all the trash to the first boss or into the first boss. And you just watch them like try and get there and die. But like the idea is like if you nail that first pull, then the rest of the dungeon is fairly, you know, straightforward. So
right.
But yeah, no, and then watching a team also in Sanguine Depths know they had the fastest time but wanted to better it. So like they had the fastest time by like a minute and a half, but had three deaths. Okay. So they ran it a couple more times to basically do like a zero death and they shaved off another minute from their one dungeon. Nice. So it's definitely an interesting tournament. It's interesting too of like watching teams see one team do a really good time on a dungeon and then like use the overnight time and come back. Like if you post the team that posted one of the best times on Friday, one of their teams came in and tried their exact same route on Saturday to try and nail it and get like a similar time. So it's a really cool format to me because like there's not that idea of like in the typical MDI format when you have a head-to-head matchup, it's like as soon as one team wipes, generally like the other team is going to win that dungeon. Like
yeah, the other team is the other team's game to throw at that point.
Exactly. And it's with the way that these teams play, like if you don't wipe on the tough pull, then you are fine for the rest of the dungeon. And it's sort of at that point, it's like, well, I can either sit here and watch the remainder of like the 18 minutes of this dungeon, or I can go do something else and come back when the next dungeon starts. And
right.
Yeah, it's sort of a little boring in my mind, but I don't know. I'm a huge fan of the Last Stand tournament. Probably watch it after we get off the podcast and see the end of the day here. So W Omega LOL is crushing, but nobody's done Nelth's Lair yet. They've saved that for last. So we'll see how that goes today.
I'm really curious how that is going to go, because so much of, I mean, I guess they're not doing it at the crazy high key levels that they were doing in Legion, where you had to like outrange the stone throwers or the pelters. Yeah. You had to outrange the pelters so that they would run and follow the tank, and the tank had to stay out of range of them all the time, but also keep threat on them, which you could do in Legion because tank threat was significantly better. Yeah. Fix it, Blizz. But the pelters still hit really hard. So if it's, especially if it's a fortified key, I would not be surprised to see some like misdirect stuff just to like give tanks big initial threat, and then tank runs away so the pelters don't murder the group.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget if it's tyrannical or fortified, for the dungeon, but no, it's, they had just started pulling. So I only got to see like the first pull or into the first boss, for the first group that was doing it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a last end tournament going on. Check it out. It's really fun. I think the winner of today gets a spot in the grand finals MDI, the final gotcha. Tournament. So yeah.
So as a note, the actual grand finals of the MDI is in actually almost a month. That's a yeah. longer time than I expected. June 16th to 17th, which is Thursday, Friday, 4 weeks from now.
Yeah, I'd say it actually is a lot like a longer break, but I guess just to get some hype up and give some teams some time to practice, right?
Yeah,
makes sense.
I do wonder if there's other things between, like other cups between that. No, because this is the last stand in order to qualify for the finals.
Yeah. So there's no more MDI stuff. There might be some PvP stuff, but
oh, I looked at the wrong date. Sorry. That's the Arena World Championship. Is that date? Okay? They've got it in the MDI announcement. So I found a date. I was like, that's after last stand date. That must be the correct one. It is not the correct one. It is the AWC. The MDI Grand Finals are July 8th to 10th, which is actually even farther away.
Yeah.
Because I totally misread. It's actually not June 16th to 17th for the AWC. It is July 16th to 17th. So we got over a month from until the MDI Global Finals, which is kind of wild.
Yeah, I guess they're sort of just end of season stuff, trying to push it out. Not too much between then and now. But cool. Yeah, I'd say, you know, check out the rest of the tournament today. Check out some of the runs. It's been fun to sort of follow along and watch it for sure. So cool. So then moving right along, one thing I wanted to just touch on, and we don't spend too much time here, but BDGG, big dumb golden Guardians or game, whatever.
The team formerly known as Big Dumb Guild.
Yeah. But they had an interview that they did with Wowhead. A couple of their raiders got together and they sort of asked some questions about, you know, the raid, basically favorite bosses, how they like the overall raid, you know, most of like how they thought of the tier, things like that. And I think the only thing to keep in mind is like they basically called out Helandris and Rigelon as sort of the top fights of the tier. As sort of like the pinnacles. Talked a little bit about Lords of Dread and Pantheon sort of being low points in terms of sort of bosses within the tier, which I think we've talked, I mean, I haven't done Lords at all, but I know Pantheon was one of my least favorite fights just because it's mechanic vomit.
Yeah.
Like it's doesn't make sense, and it's just mechanics on top of mechanics.
Yeah.
And then Lords seems like it doesn't change much from the heroic to mythic fight.
There's a couple things, and really the main things are the sleepy fields. You have to be really good about positioning well. That's like I think the mechanic change is that they don't expire anymore, maybe. So like you just have to be really good about positioning because the fight is going to be so long that you have to use the whole room. And then the just all of the extra carrion swarm things, like the carrion swarm just sending out like 8 things instead of the 4 from heroic or the 1 from normal.
No, that's true. That I guess that is slightly different. But I mean, they were not high, I'd say, on those two bosses. Based on the interview. And then I guess the only other thing is they did talk a little bit about like just the length of the tier, and the fact that like the tier would have probably been better served with not 3 or 4 like 100 plus pole bosses, right? Yeah. I think what they were sort of saying is like, it's fine to have, you know, end boss be your 200 to 300 pull boss, you know, boss or two before that be in like the 100 to 200 range, right? Do like two bosses there and then everything else sub 100 pulls. That'll just help in general with burnout and things like that. They also mentioned the fact that like heroic splits being so important that a lot of time was spent not even in mythic progressing. It was sort of just getting those tier sets, which I think it's just going to be a function of having tier sets, right? Is that like,
I don't agree with that. So there's two things that caused it. One is that they didn't have the last two bosses, and BDGG brings this up. They didn't have the last two bosses available for heroic week, so they couldn't actually finish their heroic splits during heroic week. They had to do some during mythic week. If they had all the tier bosses available during heroic week, then they would have finished their splits during mythic week. They would have gone straight into mythic. Maybe they would have done some heroic splits after the first few mythic bosses in order to pick up any tier sets that they had missed. And then the second thing is just the like size of the tier bonuses, right? Like I've mentioned this a few times on this podcast, like the tier bonuses are so big this tier that not having it is basically throwing And they, in respect to loot, they did bring this up, or in respect to the difficulty, they brought this up as well, where it's like the raid was clearly tuned around having double legendary and four piece tier sets, which then having the double legendary not even available until the third week of mythic is Blizzard made a mistake on that one.
I think there's this idea of like, to me, like raid difficulty, I think can go a bunch of different ways, but if the raid's tuned around having double legendary and four piece for the majority of people, then I think it's fine that the stuff come like those items come in later, because from a world first guild perspective, like they should be like,
I mean, but
they'll want to do the harder version of the fight, right?
If you look at like Helandris, right? That boss had its health nerfed before anybody killed it.
Oh no. And I think, so I will say that Blizzard in general tuning this tier overshot the mark across the board. Right. But I think at the same time, like if you're going to design a raid around having specific items, then it's fine if those items come in later. If the idea is you're designing the raid fights for the majority of players, not for like you're not designing two versions of a fight. You're not designing the like world first version of the fight and then you're designing like the everybody else version, right?
At the same time, they kind of are designing two versions of the fight when in every tier, because the experience of the world first raiders is so different from what we experience, right? Like we get to a boss and just our whole raid, like we don't do splits really or anything. And our whole raid is like, you know, 275 or above, and people have max conduits and we just like have double legendaries and things now. So and then of course there's nerfs, you know.
Yeah.
There's a pretty big difference there between what the world first raiders have versus what we get.
No, I mean, like, I guess that's true. As I'm talking through this, I mean, they technically do design it both ways. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm of the opinion that like it's fine if there's certain power increases that come later on.
Yeah.
Even if fights were designed around having those things.
I think if they come later on, they just need to not. Well, okay. I think we need to be clear on what we mean by designed around, right? Like, because if it's designed for the world first around having them, then I think that's a problem. Because it means they just can't. They just can't kill them really unless they break the fight in some way without having those items that are time gated. If it's the rest of the world is probably not killing it until they get double legendary, I think that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Cause like we weren't going to be reaching Anduin until we had double legendary anyway. So, it doesn't matter if Anduin requires double legendary cause we'll have it for it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I mean, I guess that's fair in terms of like the way that it works. I don't know. I will say though, they do sort of talk about it. I did remember reading. They talk about sort of getting double legendary week one, creation catalyst week one, right? Or even week two, right? To help
yeah,
fill in those heroic calls. It would be interesting if Blizzard, I mean, I hope the one thing I will take from this, and I think they mentioned, I don't know if they mentioned this, but the fact that the final set of bosses went untested, I think was really cool.
Yeah. I think that actually worked out a lot better than kind of we had been concerned about with how Sanctum had gone, where like Sanctum went in, we had testing and Fate Scribe was busted and Kael'thasa was busted and Guardian was busted and Sylvanas had multiple different exploits that they found. Like there was an exploit on the Jailer. They found and virtually all of the Hall of Fame used. But you know, it wasn't as bad.
No, it is what it is. No, I think too, like I hope they could at least continue that. And but I would agree with their assessment that like splitting the raid by a week is not fun. I think it would be better if they were going to split the raid that it be like a longer period of time between the two.
Yeah. It actually, right. I think, would have been really nice for Anduin to be the end boss of this tier and then to have like a patch 9.2.5, Rigelon, Lords of Dread, and the Jailer. And right, it's just like a Crucible of Storms style raid. And if that were coming out in like, you know, a month, that would be kind of awesome. We could actually go back and do the rest of the raid. Yeah. But then they couldn't put the rest of the tier pieces in that last three bosses.
No, true. The loot would be a little weird. But no, it would have been interesting if they handled it that way. So it is what it is. But it's a cool little interview with BDGG. I think they echo at least a lot of what I've seen, which is like, yeah, Elandris, Rigelon, very, very good fights. Anduin, good if slightly bugged. The Jailer, solid but potentially forgettable as an end boss, right? Like not a standout end boss. And then yeah, Lords and Pantheon being just awful boss. I'll never get a Pantheon. I hate doing that fight.
Man, this looking at this just makes me sad that like Helandris is dead.
I mean it seems though like it sucks that they killed a lot. Like they basically ruined that fight the way that they did. But I will say that it was fun to progress, even though we only got a day, like one raid night's worth of pulls, or maybe two raid nights worth of pulls in the old version of it.
Yeah.
It was fun to do the old version, at least to see it. Well, cool. Well, I guess we'll move a little bit forward. We got two more points, then we'll sort of open it up to talk about the new Mythic Plus FX. They did release so on PTR, they added all the faded raid loot. So on PTR, the update this week, we got a look at what the faded raids will drop. And on Mythic difficulty, it'll drop between 304 and 311 item level. So basically about a third, 26?
Points
increase.
This is the same eye level increase as we had between, for example, Sanctum of Domination and Sepulchre, the first one. So this is a full tier over what is currently available.
Yeah, so it's a lot of loot. It's going to be great to go back and do Nathria for trinkets. Was it 20? I think it was 26.
It's 26 normally. I'm actually looking at it again. So we would be going from 278 to 304. That is 26. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's 26. You're right.
Sorry, I did the math quick in my head. I didn't
know
if it's right or not.
Yep.
I knew it was less than 30. So that's the new drop rate. Again, the faded raids is a 9.2.5 mechanic, and only one of the three raids will be faded each week. So
yep.
Yeah.
So and it will be so the table that they've got on my head is like it lists Sepulchre on the second column. But the faded raids is like all of these are going to be the same eye level. So Castle Nathria is going to be eye level 304. Sepulchre is going to be 304. Doesn't matter which one's faded, but whichever one is going to drop that eye level.
Yep. And then one little lore thing I wanted to throw in here, which I thought was interesting. Now that we've sort of seen, maybe not the conclusion of the 9.2.5, I guess the Shadowlands story, but at least it's quickly wrapping up, is they added a Easter egg in to Windrunner Spire in Ghostlands, which is sort of one of the landmarks in Ghostlands. And at the top of the spire, you'll basically find an item that represents one of the four Windwalker, or sorry, Windrunner sisters. So there'll be like a heart for Lorath. Illyria's got an arrow. Sylvanas has, of course, her bow. And then Varisa has a book, which I don't know why they have a book, but apparently there's a reason that Varisa has a book. In any event, when you do click the harp, there will be like a nice little scene, I guess, that plays with all four of the sisters there. Lorath playing her harp and some nice music track being played over top of it.
So I've got it pulled up right now. Lorath is their brother. It's three sisters.
Oh, the brother? Oh. No, they're all girls. Okay. Well, okay. So Lorath is the brother and there's three sisters.
Yep.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Or Wowhead has it wrong. Wowhead could have it wrong. It would not be the first time.
It's probably right. I'm just an idiot. I thought there was four Windrunner sisters. Anyway, sisters. Anyway.
I didn't even know they had a fourth. Like, I didn't know there was a fourth sibling at all. So you're one step farther ahead than I am.
I knew there was four. Well, and I guess I know you always hear the sisters referred to as the three sisters. So I guess it makes sense that the fourth Windrunner was a boy, but all right, fair enough. I'm an idiot. In any event, cool little Easter egg they added. We'll learn more about the lore as I learn more about it through these nice little Wowhead posts. So.
But that brings us, I think, to talking about the new Mythic Plus affix for season 4, which has just started testing. It came up for testing this week on PTR. I have not run any of it yet, but I've seen some people running it. And I think the initial impression that people have had. Actually, you know what? Let's talk about what it is, and then we'll talk about that kind of impression. So basically, the idea is throughout the dungeon, there are enemies that, when you attack them, turn into Dreadlords. This is like if you've done Torghast, and there's the rares that sometimes look like one thing, and you attack them, and they turn into a Dreadlord. It's literally just that. When you kill them, you get a stack of a buff. So at the start of the dungeon, you talk to a broker that wants to capture Dreadlords. And they're like, pick a stat. And then every time you kill a Dreadlord, you get an additional stack of that buff. So for crit, verse, and haste, it is 2% of that stat. And then for mastery, it is 69 mastery rating. Because mastery is... the whole like way it converts, and you can't just give a percent.
Exactly.
So yeah. There's a lot of these mobs throughout the dungeon. A lot. If you kill all of them, I think you can get up to 20 or 25 stacks of this buff, which is 40% stat. So like an extra 40% haste on the final boss of a dungeon if you clear all of these, which you're each individual one is like small enough that you're probably not clearing all of, like, you're not going to go out of your way to get your last four stacks or whatever.
Exactly.
But, you know, you're going to end up maybe with 30% extra haste, you know, just like having Bloodlust on all of the time at the end of the dungeon, which would be pretty neat.
Except if you're a Mistweaver and then you don't actually want to take the haste.
Yeah, well, you get to pick. It's great. So if you're a Mistweaver, then you can take, I don't know what Mistweavers take, not haste.
And probably verse at that point. Crit will be overkill. So,
I mean, all of the tanks are probably going to take verse because every stack you're just getting an extra 1% DR. You know, you get to the end of the dungeon and you're taking 15% less damage. That's like having a cooldown up, you know.
Yeah, I think verse at higher keys will probably end up being the stat of choice for most classes. I know Mistweavers will generally probably take it if you're pushing any sort of key. So
yeah, and then there's one large Dreadlord. I don't know. There's a named one in the dungeon that when you trigger it turns into a little mini boss. That has more health, has some extra spells. We can go through it in a, I guess, so actually, when you kill one of the regular ones, or when you trigger one of the regular ones, there's just like a couple of small abilities that they do. They can summon, like, if you've done Lords of Dread, you'll be familiar with these abilities. They've got like a frontal thing that goes on the tanks. It's like what Mal'Ganis does. They've got Carrion Swarms that is actually not like carrion swarms on Lords of Dread. So maybe that was a bad example, but it's another frontal. It might be kickable. I'm not sure. And then they've got Nightmare Clouds, which are just the sleepy clouds from Lords of Dread. So it's just those. They don't cast them very often. They have about the same amount of health as a regular mob, maybe a little less. So they're like not going to be too hard to kill, which, you know, they need to be because they don't give percent. And they there's a lot of them, right? Like, you know, encrypted, you know, you kill 5-6 Urs in the dungeon or mobs in the dungeon. You know, killing 20 of these is like pretty significant.
Oh yeah.
And then when you kill them, you get 30% of your health and mana back over 5 seconds, which is actually going to be really nice. Like the health back is like, what? Yeah, sure, whatever. The mana back for the healers is going to let you chain pull. It's going to mean you don't have to stop to
charge. Oh yeah. Yeah.
When you pull the big one, the named one, I have the name pulled up now, Zul'Gamax, which just sounds like a troll, not a not a dreadlord, but you know, it has some stuff. It's got a stacking dot on the tank that you dispel. It's got blood barrier like on Hekar, which is kind of weird to me, but whatever. Weird, yeah. And then like a swirly that it, a point blank swirly that you run out of, and then a ad that it summons that has, it's like the ads on Live Up actually, where they do the channel into a player and you have to kill it before the channel finishes.
Yep.
And if you don't, then the player becomes hostile to everything. So, but when you kill this one, you get, instead of the 1 stack of the buff that you get for a regular mob, you get 3 stacks. And then instead of 30% of your health back, you get 100%. So it's like killing Ur, where when you kill Ur, you get your whole health bar and mana bar. Actually, I don't know about mana, but a whole health bar filled over 5 or 10 seconds or whatever it is. This is going to do, you know, just full HP and mana regen for over 5 seconds.
Interesting.
And then Berthy in chat is pointing out the Dreadlords are always, as far as we know, in the same location. It might vary from week to week. We can't tell yet because we've only had it up for 1 week. But at least within a week, they are in the same locations. And so like previously what they've done, so like encrypted, right? It's in the same spots every week all the time, which I actually like. Right. It's not maybe great for people that are only running keys, but for people that just want to run some keys, it makes it easier to pick up and learn. Cause like, I know the encrypted spawns after the second boss and mists are always going to be there in the same locations. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So having them be in fixed locations is going to be good. And then these are also only two of the dungeons in the rotation for next season are actually going to be dungeons we currently have.
Right.
Another two are dungeons, I guess another four are dungeons that we've had previously. So exactly. Six of them we will have had in Mythic Plus in some form. So if you've been playing Mythic Plus since Legion, you will have done all of them. And then there's two that are just brand new.
Grimrail Depot. Everyone's excited about that one, right?
No? No.
But by the way, I 100% voted for Grimrail.
Okay.
100% that was me.
I have no real, like, there's a bunch of people in my guild that are like, this is going to suck to do Grimrail Depot because of the fact that it's like a lot of the dungeon is the hallways. Like in, you know, you do Waycrest Manor on Sanguine and you're just miserable. Like imagine trying to do like Sanguine, Spiteful kind of stuff in Grimrail Depot.
But you're doing it with 30% verse.
30% verse doesn't keep the mobs from getting healed to full.
Yeah, but they just don't hurt as much. No, Grimrail, so I voted for it as sort of a joke. I didn't think it would win because to be fair, like
this, you just Brexited Grimrail.
Well, I mean, like the idea is like, yeah, I mean, exactly, because I know we're not talking about the affects here, but the dungeon itself is terrible. Like it's the tech behind how they did the dungeon very, very cool. The actual dungeon, not cool. Like,
but you voted for it.
Yeah, because I like, it's one of those things where you just like, if I don't know, you just want to see, you just want to throw, you just want things to like,
you just want to see everybody. The world burn.
Exactly. You just want to like, you know, you don't care about the diamonds or the jewels that you're stealing. You know, you just want to steal them. That's what you're there for.
I'm pretty sure you do care about them.
No, not at all. Just you throw them in the river. But no, I mean, it's the layout of the dungeon, the camera is just going to, it's going to be awful for everybody. And the fact that if you like, the nice part is they are putting that accessibility thing in. I think we talked about where like you can stop the motion of the thing if you want. I just think it's a really cool technical dungeon. Like the way that they put together actually making it seem like the train is moving, was super cool, and the tech behind that. But no, the actual dungeon itself is, it's an on rails dungeon. Like you literally W key through the whole thing for the most part and get to the end. So, but no, this affix, I mean, speaking a little bit more of the affix, I mean, it's an interesting take on it. I think to me, this final patch seems like the idea of Blizzard just being like, we're just going to make everybody really powerful. Nothing's really going to be balanced. We don't really care if it's like tightly tuned and everything's the same. It's like, we just want people to walk in and blast. And like, that's all we want to do.
Yeah.
And so like this affix just seems it's interesting, but not like the idea is like, it's just more damage or more healing or more survivability on top of what you already have.
Yeah.
And you just will naturally get it as you go through the dungeon, right? Like there might be some routing you think about, but for the most part, you're not talking about even with the current encrypted, right? There are certain pulls where you're like, okay, we'll want the shroud, which I think is Veer, right? Or Vi. Sorry, you want Woe maybe for a certain pull, but then other ones you generally want because of the cooldown reduction. And so like there's a little bit of thought process there. But I think for the most part, you know, this affix coming up just seems like very much a like, just do more damage healing. Take less damage as tank, whatever tanks do, right? Just get more damage too. Right. And just have fun for the rest of the expansion, basically, right?
Yeah. Notably, this one, unlike Encrypted, does not have a way to get Shroud without a rogue, which is kind of disappointing. There's going to be a bunch of stuff that we do now. Like in a bunch of dungeons now, we use Woe to do rogue skips and just like guild keys without actually having to have a rogue here. Which is nice. But oh well. The thing I've kind of been hearing is that the affix is very like, it's not very impactful in the way that like Encrypted is pretty impactful, where Ur lets you do some silly things and Woe is like crazy good. And like, you know, you look back at something like Prideful, where like your entire key was defined around Prideful, which is probably too far in that impactful direction. Like if you screwed up Prideful, your key was dead.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, this is maybe more in line with, it maybe even less impactful with than the affix from last season, the Torghast power one. On the one hand, I think that's actually probably a good thing because we're not doing the same 8-10 dungeons that we've been doing for the past 3 seasons. It is going to be only 2 dungeons, and those two dungeons are ones we've only had for this season. Like we have not had them for previous seasons.
Exactly.
So the other 6, like I haven't done, you know, Karazhan is not part of the Legion Time Walking rotation, I don't think.
Right.
So
yeah, and we haven't done those since
that was, we haven't current, done them, right? Since Legion. Yeah. And same thing with the Mechagon ones. Like we've not done those since BFA. And then of course we've never had Mythic Plus WoD dungeons. There were challenge modes back in the day. You know, it's a little bit different when you have to actually kill things.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you're right. It's nice that it's fairly straightforward in terms of like what it does. And it'll be interesting to see the actual placement of this stuff. I haven't watched much of folks doing it, but the one dungeon that'll be a little bit more interesting about where they place these sort of these Dreadlords is whatever the upper Mechagon, the outside Mechagon dungeon is.
Yeah.
Because that one is, it was defined by grease bots for the most part, or the bots, right, for the most part, which route was around that at the time. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they place them and if you have to go out of your way to get them or if they're on the traditional path, right?
Well, the traditional path was also in part defined by the Nyalotha affix, where you got to skip around using the portals.
True. Or I guess too, what boss was empowered that week too, sort of had somewhat of a play. You still have the hard
mode mechanic
in Mythic Plus.
Did you?
I'm almost positive, right? Or am I?
I remember not even going that many keys in the final season of BFA, so I don't actually remember.
There was always two pathways. You either started with the far right or far left boss, and it always depended on which one had the hard mode, I thought. Maybe I'm confusing it.
I don't know. I have no idea.
But I know we'll find out in season four. But,
I
love that dungeon, by the way. I love both Mechagons for some reason.
I mean, I actually do think the Mechagon dungeons are fun. Like I am looking forward to do them again. The garden boss is stupid and I don't want to do it again, but the rest of it's fine.
No, I can get behind garden boss being dumb, especially when you have like, I used to run with this idiot mage that would die all the time. Shout outs to Ed.
I was about to ask if the idiot mage is you, but
no. It's my buddy Ed. But the bracers are back, so we'll be probably running that a bunch.
So
fun.
Oh man. Bracer Fire Mage with actually, so there's no font of power.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna have to deal with font and badge bracers Fire Mage. But you can get a lot of mastery for this affix too. The problem is that you're not gonna really have all the stat boost until the end of the dungeon, so you can't use it to clear most of the trash. Like, in order to get it, you have to clear the trash. So it's not like something where you could do Fire Mage shenanigans, get bracers, get the best pair of 2-minute trinkets in the game, and then stack the mastery buff, and then do Nyalotha things as a Fire Mage.
Yeah.
But
That's actually an interesting point, is that the buffs will slowly ramp up. So to be fair, the dungeon will get easier as you get further in, which hopefully means that like as long as you can get through like the initial push, like if you pug a lot of your keys, they shouldn't fall apart later. Right. Like the idea
that's actually a very interesting point. I hadn't thought about that. If you're pugging, then it means you're less likely to have your group fall apart 40 minutes into a 50 minute key.
Exactly, yeah, because you'll be at your strongest at that point as a group. So if you've gotten through everything previous, which then also begs the question is, what is the overtime mechanic, right? Because like currently, if you go over time, you get to spawn in like one of the encrypted mobs, right, and kill it and get the buff. So it'll be interesting to see like what the overtime mechanic is with this one. Is it just you get whatever 25 or 30 stacks immediately? Like, I'm wondering.
It could just reset your Bloodlust cooldown.
That's true too. Yeah.
Like I don't think they need the other piece of it. Like with Prideful, they kind of needed it because with Prideful, the buff was a major part of being able to complete some dungeons. Like if you didn't have your Prideful buff for Hakkar, you were screwed.
Right. Yeah.
But this isn't going to really do that. Like if you wipe on Hakkar, you're still going to have your 20 stacks of the buff or whatever. You can go back in and the big limiter is, do you have Bloodlust or not? And I don't even know if Hakkar is like the limiter boss anymore, but
right.
You know, if you go in, you're at a boss and you wipe to it, you know, and you're over time, just being able to reset Bloodlust is, I think, enough.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see how that, like, what people's general takes are on this is, like, we get to play with it a little bit more. Because, it definitely is new. It just doesn't seem, I think, to your point, extremely impactful. Like, you're not going to change a bunch around it.
Yeah.
But it is a nice, like, just slow, we'll say slow, but it's just a nice power increase over the course of a dungeon.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, I think what you'd want, right? Because that's the worst part about, particularly going back in time, right? Like if we think about just like not just the like the more social or like what's the word I'm looking for, like the perception point of like we've done these dungeons, these older dungeons before, we are 10 levels higher in a lot of cases, or like 20 levels higher than we've done them the first time. So like, let's not make this final season too difficult. And just let people, you know, finish off, get all the loot that they want, because it's not going to matter in like 6 months when Tendo's here anyway. So
yeah, it's very much a like, let's just goof around and have fun in the final patch kind of thing.
Yeah. Which I think Blizzard needs more of, right? Like, I think that's the one thing that I think I miss a little bit. I don't know if WoW was ever like this. And in my mind, it was at one point. But like,
it was certainly like this to some degree in Burning Crusade. Because everything was just significantly easier. It just was. Like, there's people that have tanked bosses and off-tanked bosses as Shaman. Shaman do not have a tank spec. So it's just easier. Like, you could get away with doing silly shit because you could. So like, you could go out of your way and like gear up your paladin and then like two hand tank some bosses. And would it be optimal? Maybe not, but you could do it. I know that you can, because it's currently the rank one protection paladin for all of Black Temple ran a two handed weapon. I've received many complaints about it.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, but I think this is sort of the patch. Maybe they let you be a little bit more silly and maybe not care as much. I don't know. It would be, yeah. So we'll see. I mean, it's just, this seems to be like the, hey, their final hurrah before 10.0 comes out and we get Dragonflight and things like that. So, speaking of, I mean, not much, by the way. I don't know if you had any more to say about the Affix, but speaking of Dragonflight, really, there hasn't been too much news over the past few weeks on that.
It's been quiet.
In particular. I don't think this was a part of our predictions, but I threw out there, I don't know if it was on Twitter or in Discord or something, that I foresee Alpha before the end of May, which that was my prediction, which doesn't leave much time. Essentially, it leaves this week for it to come out.
I would love it if it came out this next week, because I expect to get an Alpha. Yeah. And I would love to hop in and goof around.
So, but yeah, that was my prediction. But no, I mean, I think this final affix is sort of them just being like, we need something interesting, sort of on brand for what the end of the expansion should be, and need it quick and implement it quickly, because we don't want to spend too much time here with it. Because they're probably putting in a ton of work to get like Grimrail. And what was the other dungeon? It was Grimrail. What was the other?
Iron Docks.
Iron Docks. To get those just functional in the current Mythic Plus sort of construct. So that's probably where a ton of their time was spent.
Iron Docks is also going to have like the cannons thing from the stupid prison dungeon was last expansion.
I've blocked it out of my mind. Yes, but
you're gonna be able to use the iron stars to murder a whole bunch of trash.
Yeah,
so that's going to be something that there are like, that's the kind of thing where nobody's done these keys as Mythic Plus, right?
Yeah,
so figuring out what to do with that is going to be an interesting part of just doing keys. Next, at least for people that aren't like me that just copy whatever I get told to do.
Yeah. Now it'll be fun to see what exactly they do. Cause the interesting part, but from my recollection, there's not much trash between the first boss and the stars. And then I don't know if you can pull the trash trash after the stars is sort of locked in place or set spawns, where like you move from point to point and trash spawns it on top of you. Mm. Because like the part after the stars, you're like hiding from the ship cannons that are pelting you. It's like line of sight, kill trash, move to the next safe spot, line of sight, kill trash.
I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how much trash I'll actually be able to use the stars with, but I guess if you skip a bunch in the beginning, kill the first boss, backtrack and pull that trash in, that might be
or,
the way to do it.
Or do the old like tank gets on the spinny ball and goes zooming forward and then comes back with all the trash. Like there's the fixed safe spots, but if you go back to where the stars are, then you know
you
can bring the trash back with you in theory. I don't know if it'll actually work that way in practice. It's one of those things that like, why would you ever try and do that? Like it's just not something you needed to do in CMs.
Exactly, yeah, because yeah, the times requirements weren't too difficult. So, but yeah, no, it'll be fun to see what we kind of do with the old dungeons, and it'll be fun to play around with this affix. It seems like I said, there's not much thought that goes into it, I feel like. So yeah. A good end of expansion, just straight power buff type, you know, affix. Yeah. So,
yeah, would honestly be kind of nice if maybe just the initial buff were just slightly bigger. Like you, when you talk to the broker at the start, you get one stack of the buff. Uh-huh. But then maybe that's just on your route. Like maybe it's the kind of thing where, you know, you're in a hypothetical the other side equivalent, where your route is going to Ardenweald first in order to pick up more of the Dreadlords, because it's just a bunch there. You know, yeah. I guess we can talk about the lower Mechagon, the outdoors Mechagon, where you maybe your route is like, maybe we go to the slime side first because there's just a bunch of Dreadlords over there. And we just like get to 10, 15 stacks of the buff before we really do anything else. And then we go and grab our bots. And that's actually one where
shock
those bots. Lightning bots are going to be.
Shock bots.
Oh, man. Shock bots with an extra 40% versatility are going to be absolutely blasting.
Oh yeah, I forget. Yeah, I hope the bots are active, because that was the other. Yeah, that was the other fun part about that dungeon was how much damage those bots did, and as a healer, it was nice to contribute, but also AFK most of things. So, let the bot do the dirty work.
I do know that the route that I did in that dungeon in 8.3 is not going to work next season, because it was entirely like you had to have the Nyalotha things. So, and you had to have not only not the Nyalotha things, but two back to back Nyalotha things. Like we took one of them to the other one, then grabbed that one and took that one to the end boss. And so we're not going to be able to do that. That's a double rogue kind of scenario. And even then, like the Nyalotha things let you go past mobs that have true sight. You can't do that with a rogue.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because you have all those stealth mobs. As you cross between like the boss and the arena, the two things.
Yeah.
You go up to that one that was on the one side of the entrance to the final boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were fun times.
Yeah. I do like those dungeons though. Like I am looking forward to next season. I am looking forward to not running the current slate of dungeons.
Yeah, which I think, and it's a cool concept that I think they're taking into 10.0, is if we think about just a little bit in the future of like the fact that, I mean, it sucks that I think opening season of Mythic Plus in 10.0 is not going to contain all the new dungeons. Yeah. That's sort of a bit of a bummer, but it's cool that they're sort of expanding the concept of like bringing back older dungeons into current content, which I think we've talked about of like, there's so much content in WoW that literally is just wasted because they don't. Like, and it's so easy to incorporate into like the current stuff. Like you don't, I think the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I still remember going into this season when they were talking about giving Mythic Plus people access to tier sets and like PvPers access to tier sets and things like that. I was like, that's so stupid. But I think the idea of like it just being a different way to get current gear, like is fine. Right. Like, yeah. I think it makes sense to like, enable it, because like it'd be cool if like this faded raid concept becomes a thing where like they pick one raid like basically like 2 months into a tier, right, and then they start the faded aspect thing, and like the one previous raid becomes faded and you can do it that week, right, hopefully post your progression, right, if you want, and you get access to like a bunch of a cool loot or things like that. So
also doing this gives access to there's basically It's trinkets are the big thing.
That's true. Like,
trinkets are the like trading cards of WoW that people collect and do things with. And it's not very fun to get the same trading card, but with bigger numbers on it. But it's pretty fun to collect all the different trading cards. And so being able to go and get just a different set of them next season is going to be pretty neat. Even if one of those is modular platinum plating.
I mean it'll be nice that I don't have to run Theater of Pain, you know, 30 times at the start of every season just to get a ruby, because ruby's good no matter what, or like having to run Mist just to get a changeling because changeling's good no matter what. So yeah. No, I think throwing that, like giving that ability or that sort of idea is cool. I think too, I'll be completely honest with you, I would be fine in a world where like raid trinkets, there's like only one good raid trinket and like your other trinket comes from Mythic Plus. Like I think that's an interesting way to like spread content out, which
I think that would be bad personally. Well,
it already occurs today though. So like the idea is it's no different than today. It's just,
well, it is different than today though, because like there's one good trinket for tanks from Keys. It is and the rest of them are just DPS trinkets, right? Yeah. So like the one good tank trinket from Keys is Bloodspattered Scale from the other side. But the actual trinkets that you want to run if you're a tank are well, it depends on the fight, but like right now, going into Raigalon, I'm going to be running probably Aegis and Reactive Defense Matrix from last year. But like that was the big game setup last year. I guess now we also have Codex. So the max DPS thing to do for a tank on Raigalon is like Reactive Defense Matrix and Codex of the first technique. Uh-huh. One of which is from last year. One of which is from a key. Neither of which are from Sepulchre, the first ones, because Sepulchre, the first ones, does not have good trinkets.
Right, but like that's my point was more of like in a world where like you want to do other content, like I'm fine with my best trinket or one of my two best trinkets coming from Mythic Plus, and like
the other one coming from a raid,
right? Like not that they should start the design around that, but like the idea of having to do Mythic Plus because this one dungeon is now in the rotation that has a very good trinket that.
Yeah,
I think we'll use for this season is cool.
I think that's good. I agree with that. I thought you were saying like they should have one trinket from Raiden. It should be really good kind of thing.
Oh, no. It was more of just like the idea of like having to equip non-raid things, I think I'm slowly losing that mentality of myself, which I'm very much the type of person. I'm like, if I want to do raids, I only want to raid and I want all my loot to come from raid. I want the best loot to be from raid. The very old way, I think, of thinking about the game.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't wear raid trinkets for most of last expansion because they were just awful.
Yeah, I don't think I can. Like,
Do you remember the Gahoon trinket? The one that spawned the little tentacle boy that would shoot things for you?
Yes.
And how awful that was?
Yes, I do remember that, yes.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that was last expansion. Yeah, that was last expansion.
That was last expansion.
God, Nihilotha theme so long ago. I tanked that raid. Oh,
that's why I said so long ago. You put it out of your mind.
God, that was the worst. Yeah, I hate tanking. I've realized I hate mobs I still get PTSD from the psychosis things from the downstairs phase of N'Zoth, like where like. They have a pathing and a casting area and it's different like around the edge of the room, or like they'll path around the edge of the room, but they won't cast unless they're in a certain part. Like they'll move in and then like they'll move out of range of one of the little.
Yes.
Hate that fight. Anyway.
I think that is going to bring us to the end of our show for today.
Yeah.
Thank you all for watching and or listening. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to support it and the other work that we do over at the PQ Serenity, you can do that over on our Patreon at patreon.com/PQ Serenity. And as always, we would invite you to come and join the Discord. It's a great place to come and hang out. I know for a fact, I always joke about this. I know for a fact that people are talking about F1 right now. Because I had the Discord open before starting this show. It's just one of those days. But it is a good place to come and hang out. And that's it for the show today. Have a good week. And we will be back next week, hopefully, to talk about Dragonflight stuff.
Hopefully. Hopefully my prediction is true.
Yeah. Imagine if it's true and we both get alpha for next week.
You'd finally get in early.
All right, but that's it for the show. Thank you all for watching and or listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.